Yes.
It's only like a week away, the deadline.
Yeah, yeah, things are moving. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background. We are here on a Tuesday night, as always, to bring to you all things Baltimore Ravens, get you up to date on injuries, on Twitter drama, on, you know, game planning for next week.
Trade deadline.
Trade deadline stuff, reviewing the last game, because look, there's always things to work on. And of course, we'll have our film guru in Cole Jackson, aka Mark Andrews doppelganger. We are excited to talk Ravens tonight. Glenn, how you doing this evening, my man? Oh, and wait, really quickly, sorry, we're also here to give our to announce the winner for the competition, right?
Yep, show competition, or actually the fan portion of our competition will be announced. The winner will be announced tonight as well. But it's a good night, Jimbo. Look, as much as I love football, you know, I love all sports. There's really not, I mean, do you know anyone who loves all sports quite as much as the G-man over here? And football, I mean, basketball starting tonight. So I'm pretty happy tonight. We got some good games going. The Warriors, I believe, are the night game. Lakers, first game. So I think it's a Warriors-Suns is the late game, which should be fun. We do a lot of star power in both those teams. So, man, I'm so excited. I am a bit worried. I know we're kind of turning the page and we're kind of shutting the door on last week's game, but this kind of is lining itself up as a classic track game, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just don't want to see us lose any momentum because, man, do we have momentum? I mean, nationwide, I see Colin Coward. They're the best team in football, Jimbo. I see lists going up. People are really loving some Ravens right now.
We expected it, right? Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And I'll say this to your point. I get a little concerned too, but John Harbaugh is having none of it.
None of it.
Right? I mean, I love it. I think John has been so motivated as a coach since he heard Tomlin. I feel like since the Tomlin quotes came out, that changed his whole demeanor.
And remind everyone just quickly, you know.
Yeah, Tomlin basically said, if you guys didn't catch it, and I might be missing some of the content, but he basically said, oh, you know, I knew what the Ravens were going to do. They fall apart in the fourth quarter. They don't play a full game. Like, this is the Ravens we know, right? You know, I've been playing against John for how many years?
And
right?
So like, talked about how they leaned so heavily on the analytics that they become predictable.
Oh, right. Yep. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, look, man, I'm excited. I think that John's been on a whole nother level. I think that Monken's been on a whole nother level. Everybody saw the new classic meme where Monken, the double slap of the hands. You see this, Glenn?
No.
His assistants next to him tried to give him some fist
bumps. Oh, I know he rejects fist bumps.
No,
yeah.
And he takes the hand, he slaps this hand, and he slaps that hand and gives it. Like, dude, Monken is dude. If Shannon Sharp didn't have Uncle Unk is the type, dude, he's Uncle Monken, dude. That's like, right. He's the guy. Uncle Todd.
Like, yeah, I like him, man. I tell you what.
Swagger,
Mike McDonald's doing his thing out there, too. I mean, you want to talk about analytics. Like, I wish I could find it, but I didn't save it. I saw a chart of, like, just how unpredictable the Ravens have been defensively. It's like, they'll blitz just as much on first, second, or third down. Like, they will, everything they'll do on first down, they'll do it on second, and they'll do it equally on third. Like, they're so unpredictable, you don't know what's coming from play to play. So, yeah, this coaching staff is really playing well, and, of course, the players are executing on the field. Jimbo, I do want to quickly, before, you know, we get too heavy into film study and everything, I do want to bring up some injuries, but just quickly we'll shout out Ravens O's Nation's Lakers fan. But Jokic is just too damn good, and he is. That guy is. It's like he looks like every guy I remember seeing at the YMCA, you know, that was older. You remember them guys at the Y, Jimbo, that would come out, they're in their 50s and they still got it. They never miss a box out. They'll brick wall you with a screen if you're not paying attention.
The old man screen. You know I'm talking about the old man screen where they put their hands on their knees like they're tired and they're just making themselves wide.
Bigger. Just get bigger, baby. That's it. Yep.
Yeah, dude. So classic, I hate that.
They never miss a box out. Like, you think you're going to get a rebound? That guy ain't missing his box opportunity. And Jokic reminds me of these guys.
Can't get toilet paper underneath his feet when he jumps.
Yep.
But it doesn't even matter, dude.
Yeah, he's just too good. But I do want to quickly
talk about a
bit of a disappointment with Keaton Mitchell, if I remember correctly. He's going to He's got a bit of an injury, and the expectation is he might miss a game, maybe, which is, of course, it's disappointing to hear. I mean, the guy comes in, he gets one touch. He looks quick. He looks fast. He almost broke it for a tutty. And then to hear that is kind of disappointing. But ultimately, I mean, I think the Ravens have got to be pretty happy where they're sitting from an injury perspective. Sure, there's still some uncertainty with Bowser and some guys. But, I mean, overall, I mean, how are you feeling right now about the current injury situation here?
I mean, it's so overall, I think I'm feeling okay. But, yeah, Bowser's just weird. Keaton Mitchell's a big bummer because, you know, I want him to take some of Justice snaps. No knock on Justice. You see that, Glenn? I'm improving as a human being.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would like to see him get the ball a little more.
Okay.
So, I'm bummed about it. I feel more than anything bad for the kid, right? He gets out there, does well as a flash in a pan. Yeah.
Feel a little bad for him. But the good thing is Gus playing well. Justice playing well, and they still have, you know, added depth with Melvin Gordon if need be. What's up?
I was gonna say, sorry, speaking of, like, every time my son sees a bus now, he goes, "Big bus," and he goes round and round, round and round. He starts singing the song just spontaneous. Dude, that's Gus. He's automatic. It just, you know what you're gonna get every Sunday all the time. It's just the wheels on the bus, dude. They go round and round, baby.
That's right. That's right. And they look, they're calling him Gus Bugatti now after hitting over 20 miles an
hour. What?
Over 20 miles an hour on the 80-yard scamper. So maybe we have to, yes, put a little more speed to his name. Not Gus Bus. Little Gus Corvette. Little Gus Ferrari.
Bus Gotti.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, like, that should be his Twitter handle, dude.
He's got to do it. What's up, Laney, baby, in the chat? My guy. But look, Jimbo, we gotta get our guy in
here. Yeah,
we can't keep delaying it. We got to give the people what they want. We are men of the people, after all. And I know this guy's got to be excited to get in here after last week's game. A game I think he was most excited about, that game of any game so far this season. So welcome back to the show, Cole Jackson. How you doing tonight?
Boys. You win in the trenches. You win football games. We talk about it every week. And how did they beat the Detroit Lions? They whooped that ass in the trenches. You love to see it.
Yes, I know you certainly did. That was one of the first things at the end of the show when we let people know, of course, that you'll be on Tuesday to break it down. Glenn was like, and I can't wait to see what Cole has to say about them big boys up front on offense and defense, just really playing well and dominating that football game. What you had you most excited about? Let's talk about the offensive line first. What got you up and out of your seat, Cole?
I think it was the improved play of the interior. I think Ronnie Stanley showing a little bit more. I think he's getting more comfortable. You know, a lot of people ask me what I thought the problem was, and it's really hard to kind of put my finger on. It looks to me like a lack of confidence in his lower body, essentially, when he's anchoring. He doesn't look comfortable when he plants his foot, and it's that outside plant foot. So when you can't get comfortable planting that, you have a really hard time anchoring and absorbing that contact. So starting to look a little bit more comfortable. And the funny thing is, for him having a knee and, you know, ongoing ankle issue, given he probably had some nerve damage in there, he moves well. Like, it hasn't been him getting beat. Like, if you guys remember the 2021 Andre Villanueva, he would just get run around, right? And that's not what we're seeing. It's that hasn't been the issue. He's reaching a set point. He's squaring up well. He's just getting driven. And so we're starting to see that progress a little bit. Thought Morgan Moses played a really good game. Saw a lot of Aiden Hutchinson. Was really happy with that. But it was the interior play. John Simpson rebounded from a really rough game. And Tyler Linderbaum and Kevin Zeitler the last 2 weeks have been lights out. Like, just you're steady. Tyler Linderbaum looks like a grown man this year. He's basically a top five center already in year two. Exactly what you want to see. So I think it's just seeing the tackles progress, but the inside dominate was what was exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. Them boys, they earned their check. To keep him clean, keep him with no sacks against that group, that's pretty damn impressive.
Man, he could have set up a bake sale and sold some cookies back there on some of these snaps. And so, you know, when you see that, it's like, all right, this gets me excited, because you see what Lamar Jackson can do when he has time.
Yeah, now, really quickly, Glenn, what were your takes on the complaints from the Niners, the Lions fans all over Twitter talking about the holding? How'd you feel about that, Cole?
If there ain't a flag, it ain't a hold. That's how we play the game, baby. I mean, it's fair. There's definitely a few. I did a video this morning on the pass protection, and there's definitely a few that probably should have been holds. But how many times have we seen the Ravens D-line get held? Like, this is what people don't realize. The first quarter of any football game, and I remember this from playing, there's holding on every play in the NFL. There's holding on every play just by how you block. You always grab the inside of that chest plate, right? And so you kind of adjust. You test out early. What are these guys going to let me get away with? Mm-hmm. And so the refs were letting them play. I think we got one holding call, if I remember correctly. And if they're going to let them play, then let them play. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, let's not act like that's why they weren't getting any penetration, right? Like, they were just getting balled on.
Yep. Yeah, like, come on. That was a blowout. Let's talk about the other side, the defensive line, the big hogs, because, I mean, Maitabike, it's pretty clear he's on a different level, but he wasn't the only one. I know he's getting a lot of the credit, but I want to give you an opportunity, Cole, to talk about, you know, not just him, but also some of those other guys like Travis Jones in a game where, yeah, he didn't get some of the countable numbers, but, man, all those guys played their ass off.
Yeah, Travis Jones is driving guys, and, you know, it sucks because a lot of the plays where he has a really good pass rush rep, I feel like the ball's just coming out so quick that it didn't matter. Like, I just put one up on Twitter where he literally threw Frank Ragnow right at Goff's feet, but the ball was, it was a one-step drop, and the ball was out in under 2 seconds. So, you know, you don't really get the fruits of that labor. But the one guy that I think needs a lot of credit is Kyle Van Noy. To sign this guy off the street, I think they're paying him like $1.4 million. We might have to start a GoFundMe. It's not fair. They might have to extend a midseason here. He's just playing phenomenal. I thought Odafe Owe coming off an injury. The work that Chuck Smith has done, I'm trying to get Chuck Smith to come on my show during the bye week. Nice. He's just one guy I'd love to talk to about Owe, because it's, you know, he's putting things together. He's putting together a pass rush plan. You're seeing a wide array of pass rush moves, and, you know, the arm over the swim move that he had for a sack where he knocked the ball out. Like, that's something you just didn't see last year. So seeing him put that together, you know, again, seeing him come off that injury and look just great. You add him into the mix with Clowney and Van Noy, and now we suddenly got something cooking on the edge. And then what they're doing inside, thought Brody Washington had a really good game too. Really good penetration, drew his holding call on Penei Sewell. Yep. Which was he took an edge rep. It looked real good. So just these guys are just playing confident football right now, and they're, you know, shutting down the run early. That's kind of a couple games now where, you know, some of these quarterbacks, it's funny, right? Because it's always, you know, take away the run game and make Lamar pass, but we've seen this Ravens defense in a couple of these games take away the run and force these quarterbacks like Jared Goff to drop back and be a drop back passer, and they're not having success doing it. So it's just funny to see that script get flipped.
Yeah, no, I agree. How fun has it also been to watch some of these chip blocks later on in the tape? You watch some of, you know, Bateman did it. Justice had a couple. Man. Getting the dirty work done, I think that's a lot of fun.
You know who deserves credit on that, Jimmy, is OBJ. Yeah. He's getting his ass in there and doing the dirty work, and he's put anybody that had any of those concerns about, you know, he won't play in a run game, and, you know, he's only here to get his numbers and get his cookies, and he shut all those people up, because he comes in here and he does the dirty work, as does Zay. You know, Bateman, again, another guy that I think is just trying to build his confidence up, right? He had a couple really nice catches. Sure, it's only two catches, but then you see him in the run game. He's getting his nose in there. He's getting dirty. You know, that's going to earn him more reps, more targets. So that's what we want to see.
Yeah, agreed. Now, one of the things that Glenn and I talked about that's most exciting about the win here is that we don't. Now, I'm a homer. Glenn's a homer. So we're asking for a bit of objectivity here, Cole.
I'm a bit of a homer.
To the best of your ability. You know, our thought was that the most exciting thing about this game was we don't think anybody – it wasn't like Lamar had an incredible game. We had a good game. but I don't think anybody had an out of body experience and just dominated. And we had these guys play above their ability to play. Like, this is what we've expected guys to play like. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the only thing I'd say to that, and I'm not disagreeing with you, because I do think this was the expectation of this offense. And I think that's what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
So I think that's good, right? We're finally starting to see it. I still have a little bit of concern in the pass game. I included it in my video. There was that tweet from Kurt Warner. And I think a lot of people were calling Kurt Warner a hater. And I don't think he was really, I think what he was pointing to was actually quite valid, because if the pass protection and Lamar Jackson's ball placement wasn't at such a high level this week, I don't know if they have quite the success that they had. There's still a number of plays where guys are getting open, you know, after their initial routes on improvised routes. So I think that's what Kurt Warner was talking about, just because there's a lot of this deep route combination stuff where guys aren't open off the initial rip. And so when the pass protection was breaking down early, that's where you saw, you know, Lamar getting uncomfortable, Lamar having to scramble, all that good stuff. Or, well, not all that good stuff, all that bad stuff. You know, I will say about Lamar Jackson's game, I would say that the Sunday was the best I've ever seen him place the football. When, if we're talking just pure ball placement, some of his throws, like I put up a 1 minute video this afternoon, just of it's 1 minute. There's no commentary. It's just his best plays from the game. And it's, you can see it from the end zone angle, because he's floating the balls on several occasions over linebackers' heads and like just dropping it in a bucket where only his guy can catch. The throw to Mark Andrews in the end zone, like, absurd. Like, it was placed literally perfectly. So, you know, I don't want to say he had an out-of-body experience or anything, but that was definitely the best I've seen him place the football in an NFL game.
Yeah, that's right.
That throw to Zay, when he was coming across, to throw it over the underneath guy, but you
that's
know,
right. I mean,
unbelievable, the touch he was putting on the ball.
Even the deep in route to Zay, it was early in the game. It was the one that he took and Zay flipped the field. He went for like 40 yak.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, the pass protection was great. Two linebackers dropped in hook coverage, and it just floated right over their heads, right into Zay. Mm-hmm. Once he cut in, pass protection held up long enough for that. It was like a 20-yard in route, so you know, just enough time to allow that to come, but his placement over those linebackers' heads, it was just kind of like constant. It was beautiful.
Yeah absolutely, those layered throws. Now let me ask you this. I saw the former quarterback who runs the QB school over on YouTube point out he thinks that Gus play was improvised. He thinks that was a play where
it was, has to be, there's no way you design that. I think it was a heads up play by Gus. I think Gus was just, because Gus's options there are to block, but there's no one running a concept. That's why it was so open, right? Everybody was on the left side of the field. Mm-hmm. And so Gus just was like, I'll just try and get open. And like, worst case scenario, it's just an incompletion, right? So I spent a lot of time on that play because I was wondering if it was like an option within the concept, like if they have a, because it was just, it looked so planned the way Gus ran out on it.
And the way he snapped his finger on and looked for the ball.
I've never seen them do it, or I've never seen Gus do that. It's kind of like something you'd see from more of a receiving back. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if, you know, it was a play action call that they had like a check built in, like they could call, you know, they have a word that they call with it. Like you kind of see them in some PRO plays, that sort of thing, which is like pass run option. But it was almost like, and we've seen some of these triple options where it's like, it's an RPO, but there's another R. So it's like an RPRO, and it's like a triple option within, but one of the three options within the triple is a pass. And
like
so,
that very first play, right? Like visually they look
bang like on Jimmy, exactly like that first play to OBJ. That was beautiful. That wasn't improvised. Like that was within the, but he could have ran too. So it was a run option, but then there was a pass option, but then he still had the run option. So it's a triple option with a pass included. So I was wondering, I don't have enough confidence to say that's what it was, but I spent a lot of time looking at that play.
How crazy is that though? That on the fly, that they can both be on the same page to make that happen. It is crazy. Yeah.
I think it's so cool because it's just very unique. You have to have the right guy to have it. or to be able to execute it. But the really cool thing about it is that it's got to be super difficult to defend, and as intricate as it can be, because the way that Lamar is, I mentioned in our last show, it's really, I mean, I'm not a professional quarterback. I don't know what's going on here, but the thing I'll say is that it just reminds me of a 3-on-2 drill, right? Like, you commit this guy to a decision and you react to his decision. Like, all the other stuff that's surrounding it is what makes it nerve-wracking for a defense, but it's something that I think we can be consistent with as an offense, which is exciting. But I wanted to also ask you about the last week. If you recall, I hated that we didn't get Mark the ball in the red zone. We didn't get Mark the ball very much, period. My key to the game was get 89 the ball. Like, it's not magic. He obviously got 4 receptions, 2 in the red zone. What were you seeing that was different in the way they were covering Mark that made it more of an option to get him the ball? Or do you think they were just making more of an emphasis as an offense to get 89 the ball?
Well, on the first, his touchdown on the first one, that was straight up just, we're going to scheme something for Mark. And you don't usually see him run those play action flat routes. Usually you have him more downfield. But they were trying to get the ball into his hands. Usually you'd see Likely or if Ricard, if he's on, he'd run that kind of flat route. It's basically just a check down, right? But you know, you see the difference when you get into a guy like Mark Andrews who can make something happen after the play. So I think they schemed that up. They just wanted to get the ball into his hands. You know, they heard the pregame show, Jimmy. They heard you, and so they were like, "We're gonna scheme this up for 89." That's how it goes, man. Yeah. And then the second play, I just thought they had it pretty well covered. You know, the safety was back there. It was just Lamar put that in a spot where only Mark Andrews was going to catch it. Mm-hmm. The difference I saw in this one is it was a pretty bang bang play. They didn't really let a route concept develop. They just let him go up and get it. So that was kind of the difference that I saw. They didn't quite cover, like, what we saw a week ago was, you know, they were kind of bracketing where they have a linebacker underneath and then the safety over top. They didn't quite do that. They played a lot of man coverage in this one, which I'm not sure why you do. You don't want to play man coverage against Lamar Jackson, because if you're able to pull them out of their position with your roots, then Lamar can just scramble and you don't have guys in specific zones that cover the entire field. But he ended up killing them through the air with it. And I think that's the difference with this team. You can't just leave those wide receivers alone like you used to, right? Like, you have to give them attention, even if they did have a game where they dropped about 9 balls in the end zone. So I think that was the difference. I think it was just they were making an emphasis to get him the ball and get it to him in a position where the defense doesn't have time to kind of bracket him.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now, I got to, you know, Jimmy has this thing where he makes ridiculous claims and then they turn out later to be true. And it just drives me crazy. And it's not even that this one was particularly ridiculous, but he has been a Brandon Stevens guy from day one. And he didn't
No
care.
Way. There's day, not many of you out there.
Day one. He didn't care about all the naysayers. He said, put that guy out there. He's a dog is what he calls him. Right, Jimbo? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a fighter, man.
Once again, leads our team in pass deflections. I mean, Cole, are we seeing just a guy who he's just going to continue to keep getting better? And he's got that sticky trait, right? He just sticks with guys.
Yeah, I had a tweet. It was back in August. It was after a preseason game. And a lot of people, I think it was his second game. He had a rough game. And everyone's like, why do we keep playing this guy? Or why do the coaches love this guy? And I think what people, like, when I look at the way some of these guys play, there's certain things that, like, certain play styles that I know coaches love. And Brandon Stevens is the kind of guy that a coach will love, because it's, you know how people always go, they'll say, like, Odafe Owe, Mr. Almost, or, you know, he's always close, but he never closes. They say it about Stevens, too. He's always close to the PBU, but he's never getting it. Give me the guy that gets close every day of the week, because as a coach, I always feel like I'm going to get him to take that next step. So I think the coaches just love this kid. I know they loved him coming out. they took him in the third round. Everybody thought it was a huge reach. Philly was taking him 11 picks later. That's why the Ravens pulled the trigger and they didn't want to wait till their next pick. I believe they had a fourth round pick, but it was after Philly. The Ravens knew that Philly loved the kid. You know, he's just one of these guys that I think they love. It reminds me a lot of Anthony Averett, the kind of guy that, you know, they were hard on, fans were hard on, but I just always thought played a really solid game. And now Brandon Stevens is starting to do the same thing. The thing I always loved about Stevens was how physical he was. He was always going to be a plus run defender. Not exactly the best trait for an outside corner, but just things like that that I want to see in my guys. So, you know, he's just the guy that coaches love. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy just sitting back, man. This freaking guy. Look, if Caleb Williams ends up being nobody, I'm just gonna have to give you your flowers here, Jimbo. Yeah, you called the Caleb Williams because you said he's no good. No. I gotta be honest, he didn't look great against Utah. He slipped the ball, slips right out of his hand when he's throwing. In the most pivotal moment. But, yeah, Jimmy's right again. My goodness.
Look, he put Utah sucks on his nails.
Is that why? This is why you hate him.
That was last year. That was last year after we beat him for a second time in a season.
I love it. Shout to the Utes for a big, big win. Cole, we're going to let you out of here. I know you got to run, but I appreciate you once again for – your weekly visit and go Ravens this week. Hey, last question. Any chance this is a trap game, Cole?
I hate traveling across the country. It's always a trap game traveling across the country. You know what? I'll say this. The big thing I want to see from the Ravens is, you know, I feel like they took a step Sunday. I think we all feel like that. The momentum's there. They still, if we were going into a bye week in a couple of weeks, I'd actually be kind of pissed because I hate when you kind of get things going and then you have to sit out a week. Mm-hmm. I really just want to see them stack some really good performances. I tweeted about it earlier. I just want to go out there and pump these guys. Like I went for a run in the third quarter on Sunday.
Cause it's like,
when is the last time I could do that? Yeah. I was on the treadmill with the game on I was like, I can't, like, usually I'm sitting on my couch crying. Getting bullied by my toddler.
Dude, I said in our show, I was cleaning the grout in the shower. I'm watching the game. I got it on my phone, and I'm like scrubbing the grout. Please, like, yeah, dude, it was one of those games.
I want another one of those. Give me another one of those. I'm sick of sweating these games out. I just want to coast. But no, there's no reason we should be losing. I mean, I guess some of the storylines, you got the Hollywood revenge game. You know, I would go out and put some money down on anytime touchdown over him.
Yep.
I'm saying 31-10 Baltimore though. I think they come out. I think they cruise. Josh Dobbs should be super proud of himself for what he's done for this year. You know, nothing but credit to him, but what Mike McDonald's been doing to these quarterbacks, he's putting them in the gulag and he's about to put Josh Dobbs in the gulag. Yeah. Not taking anything away from what he's done this year. Cause he's been a great story to watch, but he's going to the gulag.
I love it. All right. Well, thanks, Cole. And guys, if you haven't done so already, go over to Road Graders, subscribe to his YouTube channel. You'll become a smarter fan because of it. And we'll see you next week, Cole.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care. Go Ravens.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I got to throw this up here. I saw this earlier. Oh. Jimbo, you're getting a salad this time.
That's all right with me.
You know, no McChickens. We know, you know, that was an old Jimmy.
That's right.
You know, this is the new Jimmy. He's eating the greens. And appreciate Asmodeus for your constant generosity. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that. Oh, I was going to say something that Cole was talking about, and it's totally escaped. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I know the cross country thing is always on everyone's mind, but I'll tell you what, for some reason, this is just me and my own travels. Arizona just doesn't seem as far as California. I don't know if it's in my head or if it's literal.
You
or what,
would know. You've
it just doesn't have the effect, I feel like. You know what I'm saying? Like, going to LA, it takes a couple of days. It's like, whoop, all right. And it's always going because you can just go to bed early and get up early and you just keep your same clock. You know what I mean? But it's harder coming back. But so anyway, yeah, I'm not too nervous about this one to Arizona. I would if I was.
Well, they certainly handled the London trip well, but both teams had to go to London, where this is a little unique that you know, we're going to another team's house.
And you see what John said talking about? He's like, all state of mind. I 100% agree with yeah. that. That like, yeah. dude, sometimes you just got to bury your head in the sand
mm-hmm.
and just ignore the noise and whatever else and play ball. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, let's hope they do it. I will say the Cardinals are a lot better than I thought they would have been.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were ready everybody to lay down. Was saying,
think like, isn't it crazy that we're talking about that? What's the record right now?
I mean, that I think they only have one, maybe two wins, but still.
I think they started out 2-0. They were like undefeated or something.
I think they're
crazy.
Two wins because there's only one team with zero. I think that's Carolina, right? Carolina Panthers have zero Ooh. Wins.
They have one win. They have one win.
Carolina? Did they just get it this past week?
I think they No.
Because they didn't have any until last week.
I don't know. DK is signaling something, but I can't understand if anybody
Look,
gets that
Asmodeus quote. Said he's not gonna let us go hungry here, Jimbo. He's getting us our McChickens. And
Thank you,
I can only, you know, I certainly appreciate it. Let's see here.
I'm honestly out of salad tonight.
Yeah, the Carolina still has no wins. They have no wins. Ooh. It's a brutal.
Yeah, Arizona know. Has won is what DK
Oh, okay.
Said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Arizona. Got you. Yeah. yeah. So they're better than I thought they were going to be because they have one yeah. win. And yeah. Dobbs, to Cole's point, is a whole lot better than I thought he would be. I thought he would be, you know, a disaster. He's never really had an opportunity. And
right.
And Kyler's coming back in week 10. At least that's the expectation. He's been activated from IR. His practice window is open. But he won't be here for this game, and that's really the only game that matters. Now, yeah. Jimbo, we saw the first major trade hit. The trade yeah, deadline yeah. is in roughly a week. We see Kevin Byard right after the Ravens beat them in London. I guess they decide, you know what? It's time to start clearing
that's,
house.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's called taking your soul, right? It's when you pass a runner and they start walking. And the Titans are like, you know go. What? I'm just going to walk. I'm just phoning it yep. in, baby.
So they get rid of their all-pro safety. And, man, as good as the Eagles look, the only weakness they looked like they had was maybe at safety. When we saw them try double Tyreek Hill, and it just didn't seem to matter.
Yep.
But they're good at corner. We know what yep. their front looks like. And now they add an all-pro safety. So it's making the rumors start to swirl. And I'm faced with this conundrum, Jimbo, because I see all these trades. I see these, you know, go get Danielle Hunter, who has more sacks than he has games played to this point. Or go trade for Derrick Henry, who when I close my eyes and I imagine a backfield where it's an option, And it's either handed to Derrick Henry or Lamar pulls it. It's exciting. And then I see even free agency, like Ngamukong Suh is apparently, we've kicked the tires on that guy. But I go, well, we got pretty good running backs. Gus looks like he's starting to get back to Gus after he, you know, recovered for some injuries. Justice is playing well. I like what I'm seeing from Keaton Mitchell, albeit that he's going to miss a week. And we lead the league in sacks by a wide margin. So I go, what? So why do I think we need anyone, Jimbo?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that the age-old adage is like you can always improve, right? And I also think there can be, if it's the right guy, there can be some momentum from like, a lot was made of this when the Orioles were coming up on the trade deadline, right? And like, oh, I heard people say just on the radio, like, you know, I'm a casual baseball guy. Like I know baseball because I was indoctrinated from a child, but I don't watch it actively. But with the Orioles, I heard some people say, well, you don't want to bring someone in because it could mess up the mojo in the locker room, chemistry, this and the other. And I think I think it would be the opposite. I think if you bring in the right guy, in this example with the Ravens, where everything seems to be clicking, but if you bring in a guy that's a guy, and the Ravens are like, oh, not only are we nice, now Eric's gone out there and doubled down on his belief in us. And our chances to make it to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So I think that that's how it could be from an internal perspective in the locker's team, in the locker room for the Ravens. But I understand your point. It's difficult because it's got to be the right guy. It's got to be the right
move. I just wrote that down. I wrote the right guy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's got to be. You know what I mean? It's got to be the right. Can't just be. So I wonder, I mean, is Derrick Henry the right guy? I'll tell you what, No Surrender just put it in the chat. I would have not said this before, but man, like Saquon Barkley. Could you imagine Saquon Barkley back there? And the thing about Saquon is you get Saquon and you don't subtract in a crazy amount from Gus. Like they can coexist.
They now, can, Justice, but I can't imagine New York getting rid of Saquon.
No, I mean, I don't think so either.
Their fans would revolt. Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You signed Daniel Jones to this long deal and you trade away Saquon?
And Saquon's not going to bang on the table to get moved either. Right. He's already made that abundantly clear. He's a company man.
Yeah, man. He wants to hang out.
But that makes me want him on the Ravens even more. Like, after going through the JK crap. And like,
I don't think that's a realistic thing.
No. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But I think those other guys are realistic. I mean, obviously the Titans are shopping.
I don't think the Vikings are realistic anymore.
After that win?
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're getting some momentum. They see the Lions get destroyed. You know, they're starting to... Yeah, they're starting to feel themselves a little bit. And, you know, Kirk Cousins will get you right there.
Oh, he will. Dude, he looked so good against the Niners, dude.
Yeah.
Like, zero sacks, 400 yards.
I sat him for one game. It was the Carolina game. All right, I played him.
Oh, I know. Ugh. Hey, Lamar, did you just find this past week? I don't want to hear any.
Oh,
dude. I don't want to hear anything. Enough. Okay. Complaining about quarterback.
I got 102 points and I won.
It was half of that was Lamar.
40 was Lamar. How did I even win, dude? I don't even understand. I have the least points in the league by like 90 points.
And you have three wins.
Three wins. Dude, it's just week to week, baby.
And I'm pretty sure Rotla is still winless. Man, sorry, Rotla. Love you.
Strategizing.
You know, that's what it is. You ain't got to beat everybody in the league. You just got to beat the guy you're playing that week.
That's all. Matchups make fights.
That's it. It's just Quan says Rams keep losing. Donald might do a team-friendly release. Imagine the interior pressure with him and Metabike. Another interior pass rusher could cause hell. Yeah, there's no chance. Aaron Donald doesn't want to leave, apparently. I mean, he's made it very clear that he's like on a year-to-year basis on whether he's going to keep playing. Like, and I think it's a lot of that is where he's playing in L.A. with Sean McVay.
Making 30.
Oh, dude, his number is insane. But he's awesome, but it's just, I don't think that's realistic. I mean, it would be crazy. But what about Ndamukong Suh? You talk about the right guy. Is Ndamukong Suh the right guy, or could he disrupt, you know, kind of the chemistry?
I don't know if he would disrupt things, but like, why?
Because he'd be cheapest. He would be the cheapest. Yeah. You'd give up no draft capital. It's likely he comes in for the minimum, depending, by his tenure, which ain't a lot. I mean, it's going to be like Van Noy and Clowney's number.
Yeah. But I just feel like we have depth on the inside.
Yeah, we do.
You know what I'm saying? It would be a luxury on top of a luxury. It's like getting a Rolls Royce and then getting a humidor in the glove compartment. Like, do you need a Rolls Royce and that in the glove box? You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot. And then you run the risk of, does his energy disrupt what we got going?
Because I don't know who he is as a guy, but he's got a personality.
He does have, and he certainly has a reputation.
Yeah.
But it could be like OBJ, where it's a lot of it's BS.
Yeah.
So I just don't know, but
he stomped on people.
Oh yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that. I will say, do you think the Ravens need to make a move or should make a move? Either one.
I don't think
it's only a week out.
I know.
A week away, bro.
I don't think they need to make a move.
Okay.
Should they make a move? Also, it depends. I'm super ambiguous right now.
Yeah, you are.
But I'll also say this. I believe they will make a move.
Okay. Okay. Will it be a significant move? Will it be an Orioles move? Like when they trade and get Flaherty, who doesn't even make
postseason rotation. Oh, man. What happened, Glenn, is you put me out there. Now I've got to, like, get this right. The pressure's on. I've got to – if I give you an outlandish take.
You've been pretty spot on some of your takes lately.
And I feel good. My gut feels good about this Derrick Henry possibility.
Dude, the Titans are obviously sellers when you get rid of Byard.
Yeah. But I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Not to Derrick. I just think it's going to be a move – that's like a Van Noy-ish type thing.
Why is it, do you think, everybody, like you can see here, SMKG, second for Josh Jacobs or a fourth for Zach Moss? Why is it, do you think, everyone thinks our backs are not good enough? Like, do you agree? Because it seems like everyone's seen we need to upgrade it back.
Well, I don't agree. I think that Gus is, now that Chubb is out, I think he's the best back in the division. Like, is there a better one?
Well, some would argue that Mixon or Najee Harris.
Really? Like, or anyway, Warren. People can argue that all they want, but I want Gus Edwards in my foxhole
or
over
Kareem
those
Hunt.
Two, over those two imbeciles anytime. Golly day. But fourth for Zach is just rich. It's rich.
Yeah.
Second for Josh is also rich.
Yeah.
That's no thank
a
you.
Running back?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, Zach Moss was originally a fourth, I believe. I'm not doing either of those. I'd love to have Zach Moss here, but not for a fourth. Maybe a sixth.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, I don't think anybody's getting
what do you think happens?
More than a fifth. I think I got to think that Eric DaCosta has looks at this team and goes, man, we're there. So I got to think, like, what does he think is our biggest opportunity to improve? Because I don't think it's what's our biggest hole, because it's so much of it is what's available and mm-hmm. what we've gotten for what we're willing to spend. Yeah. So it's almost like.
Are there any left guards out there that are super good on the last year of their deal?
Not a lineman. It won't be a lot because that takes too much time. Yeah. Yeah, like it would have to be a plug and play type of thing, like maybe a corner.
Yeah,
I mean, but our corners are playing so well. Like, I don't think we need a corner. I think Roby's been fantastic. We talked about Stevens and the revelation. I mean, Marlon Humphrey looks like he's getting back every back to back. You know, being himself. I just don't see an obvious need. Like, I know people are going to tell me edge, but dude, our edge group is ridiculous. Like Van Noy, I'm not willing to just say that this is just a flash in the pan. Clowney, same thing. Owe, he led our team in pressures last week, had a strip sack, looked absolutely ridiculous. Monster. Ojabo's on his way back. Bowser might be on his way back. Like, I just don't know what we need, but I'm not opposed to them going after somebody if they think this is the guy. I just don't know who they're – I'm trying to climb into the brain of Eric DaCosta.
Yeah, where are you – the other thing, like the question you had, where are we one injury away? And that's where I could kind of see
that's
the running back thing.
Yeah, okay. You
know, because if Keaton is, like, teetering, and I know we've got Melvin Gordon waiting in the wing, but you know, if Gus goes down
– that's a good point.
Then we got problems.
That's a good point.
So well, that's
our
the
goal
only,
line guy.
Yeah. I can see it. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, what do we look like if Gus goes down for real? Melvin Gordon is our like power.
Yeah, he's our power back. Yep.
Ugh, that's not a world I want to live in.
Now he played well for us, but we still remember all the other tape Melvin's put out.
Yeah, all the other fumbles.
We can't forget that just because he had a good game for us.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, look, I'm not gonna say we're gonna move for Derrick Henry, but. I'm starting to get my spidey senses.
I like it, dude. That would be hype, bro. You imagine?
Nuts.
Lamar and Derek in the same backfield, bruh?
Yeah, and you know how bad that dude wants it. How bad he wants and he's an Alabama kid. Obviously, I know Eric's like sort of moved away from Alabama kids, but it's still, you know, Ozzie's still here. And there's just a lot of overlap, right? Like,
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
It's really going to get interesting as the days count down because we're getting there. We're getting there real close, 1 week out.
Yeah.
And there's no way, especially if other teams, Eagles make a move, but that's the NFC. You know, we're kind of happy that at least the NFC got a good player. But once we start seeing moves go around, like if we see the Chiefs land a big move, if we see the Bills go and make a big splash play, don't be surprised if the Ravens don't feel added pressure to do so.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I'll get to your comment in 1 second, but I don't think there's any way the Chiefs are sitting on their hands right now. Even though the record is good, whatever, their wide receiver group is so putrid.
Well, I mean, it's looking better, but take Kelce away, and then what do you got?
Right. I mean, and Andy can only be so creative. He's using all these backs. He's juicing them for everything they've got, right? But... I don't think they sit on their hands. The Bills can't. They just lost to the Patriots. They have to do something.
Right.
Like, they have to do something. I mean, look, I've said it before. Josh Allen is not Lamar Jackson. He led the league in interceptions. He closest he got to be an MVP. Or not interceptions. Dropped interceptions. He had 22 the year he took off. So, look, they got to get him something. But so, to your point, Glenn, moves are going to fall, right? Like, things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when will Eric start to be like, okay.
Well, there's also pressure from your fans. Like,
Why
are those guys going after
it? Right, what are we doing here?
So there's a lot of stuff that goes into this trade deadline. I got to imagine he's not going to get a ton of sleep for the next week.
Yeah, I agree. Asmodeus the Notice says, I want a running back to create a rotation. Keep fresh legs and depth. If not edge, a lockdown corner like Marlon would be insane. I think that... lockdown corners, that would be in.
I mean, Do you think Byard would have been a nice, like, do you think safety is something they should kick the tires on with Marcus Williams' situation?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, Geno is leading the league in interceptions. But
you talk about an injury away.
Yeah, you're right.
You lose one of those two guys, now what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, that could be another place that they look to add depth. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not a move that's like across. Remember the old ticker? Well, I guess they still do the ticker on ESPN and like alert, alert. Like, what I'm saying? Maybe it won't pop across that, but yeah, maybe a depth guy at safety. It's going to be interesting to see. And we'll be on Friday, of course, because, we'll be prepping for the show, but that's going to be, getting, right up against it. But, Asmodeus also says out of likelihood, Jacobs, Henry, Sertan, Burns, the likelihood of the Ravens going after,
I think Sertan would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they've got to be, but he's getting ready to come up on a payday, right?
Yeah. I mean, it would be a rental if they got him, I think.
I think that highest likelihood, Henry, second highest, Burns.
Oh, man, Burns would be crazy. I just think he's going to be pricey.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost think Danielle Hunter would be cheaper than Burns.
I agree with you there. And Danielle's a little older, right?
Yeah, and that's probably why. But, man, he's ridiculous, Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. You said, they might start feeling themselves after that win.
Look, Justin Houston, can you throw his name in there? Are the Carolina Panthers selling?
What's he got going on? Has anyone looked at Justin Houston's numbers? I don't even know. Like, is he doing anything?
Right. But I mean, is that a guy that we could,
I mean, he would know the system. It would be an easy plug and play guy. But the question is, well, he's got a half a sack so far this year.
And McDonald could plug him in for a half and he'd get three.
That's right.
In eight snaps or something. And then just chill for the rest of the game.
I mean, do you think, I don't know if he is big enough of a needle mover to even bother. Like, I like our guys, if that's the guy you're bringing me.
Sure. But it could end up being one of those moves where it's like, Eric wanted to do something and this was an opportunity to add some fire, add some.
I mean, this would be like a last move. This, to me, if you get him, that'd be like, all right, we couldn't land the guys we wanted, so we're going to bring this guy back.
I also think
he probably feel like I see Ravens doing it because they're like, nah, you could have came back. You chose to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've done that before too. They don't like to feel burned or scorned.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of people are talking wide receiver. You have no concern about wide receiver at this point, I'm assuming.
I mean, I wouldn't be like totally bummed out, I guess, but yeah, I feel pretty good about our wideouts. I feel pretty strong.
Part of it
about
is because I haven't forgotten what our old life was like.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, even if Zay went down.
Yeah.
One through, then everyone moves up. If you say Bateman 1, OBJ 2, Duvernay Nelly 3, Duvernay 4. All the top three guys are better than anyone we had last year.
Yeah, it was that bad.
Right. So,
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay standing pat. If that means that they didn't win a bidding war, but I'm not okay with them just going, we're fine, and not kicking the tires, not investigating, not trying to get better. I'm not saying
Eric's out there doing it.
He's got to. Yeah, you got to. You're this close. I feel like they are this close. I mean, just look on ESPN, dude. Every power ranking. There's the Ravens. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yep. And it's a beautiful sight. Right. We've got to stay healthy at this point. Got to stay consistent. Keep getting better as an offense. But yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Of course, you guys stay. Keep it locked. Keep it locked here. I don't know if I've ever said that before on the show. But of course, keep it locked here because we will be keeping up to date on all things trade. But I think we should get to our viewer winner of the week. And I'm excited about this. I'm excited about all of our winners every week. But
this is pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, well, first of all, this segment is, of course, brought to you by BetUS, our partner, the OGs in sports gambling. If you are interested in any type of gambling, whether it's season-long, daily, prop bets, anything you can imagine on any sport you can imagine, go over to BetUS. They will match your initial deposit 125%. up to $2,500. All you have to do is use promo code 410. You'll see it in the description. It's that easy. And even if it's just like little couple dollars, it makes the boring game that you're like, man, like that Thursday game. There's a Thursday game coming up. It's like, do I really want to watch it? Put a couple of dollars on the over on one guy. It'll make it the experience so much more enjoyable. Put a couple of dollars in your pocket. Always gamble responsibly, of course.
Yep, absolutely. And what is most exciting about this one, Glenn, is our boy Bruno is back this week. Back-to-back winner, Bruno Moraine. Shout out to you, my man. And because you are a back-to-back winner, you are not getting a t-shirt, my man. Don't be expecting in the mail. You're getting a hoodie, bro.
That's right. And by the way, I just so happened to be wearing it. My favorite hoodie. My favorite hoodie.
That's right. It's good quality. It's good stuff we got going on around here. So we'll make sure to send it over to you. And make sure to take a picture of it with you know, rocking the gear. Tag us in any of your social media handles. We'd love to take a look at it and retweet it, reshare it, whatever we do on social media. But
fun fact here, Jimbo, the DK put me down on when he was calculating all the totals. Somebody was this close to beating Bruno, but they got a little cocky in the predictions, okay? Instead of taking the over or the under, they said it's going to be exactly on that total. And they were off by one.
Oh!
By one number. But because they didn't say over or under, they said push. Even though they were off by just one number, they lost. And Bruno swooped right in for the W. So shout out to Bruno, dude. Yeah. Back to back.
That's four, right.
Got four out of four and hit the tiebreaker.
Jeez, dude. That's awesome. Hey, keep him coming. Keep him coming.
I love it.
DK's absolutely over here shaking in his boots.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, that's because he knows that I'm about to be back in this competition this week, and that's what he's really nervous about.
Yeah, you think so?
The People's Champ is back, and we're about to get a W. Massey says, Pat Ricard, career run was that. Ravens' most complete team, number one seed, so important. I'm peeved other teams not beating KC Swifties. Do you buy conspiracy NFL want KC in Super Bowl because of Swift? Ravens could get screwed over. Absolutely not. If I bought that conspiracy, Massey, I wouldn't watch the sport.
No, but the NFL needs to stop making money off of the girls' image and likeness. Can we stop? Can we stop already?
Look, I mean, I'm not saying she can't cheer, but she makes a spectacle of herself every time she comes to it, too. No, right?
Yeah, but like,
they're doing full on choreographed. They're turning around, they're hip pumping him and Brittany Mahomes and his brother. They're having a ball, bro. Oh. I mean, look, I'm not mad at it, but I'm just if you're going to put on the whole show of doing choreographed handshakes, you're going to expect to be on television.
I tell you what, though. If I was Taylor Swift, the last thing I would want is be caught in a picture next to Patrick Mahomes' brother.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't seem like the best of guys.
No,
we
that's
see a lot of issues.
The last thing I would want. Like, I represent women in my age bracket.
He has a bad history. Yeah, it's not good. But Brittany Mahomes doesn't have that. She's just had some crazy moments, but she seems like a cheerleader for her man. I love it. But, but yeah, I don't think that there's a conspiracy to get KC in the Super Bowl. I think they're just damn good. I think
is she in the Super Bowl this year or something?
I don't think so. I think she did. She's done that in the past, but I don't think there's a conspiracy. I think they're just really good. They got a great head coach. They got probably the best quarterback in the NFL. Although Lamar might be playing like that right now.
And the NFL is going to make money off the image, right? Like that's why they're pushing the narrative. It makes sense. Like they're here to sell tickets. It's entertainment, baby. So they're going to take one of the most popular people in the world and leverage that to make more money. You should expect it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not mad at him. Not mad at him one bit. And the Chiefs are making a lot of money off this relationship because just look at everything. I mean, everything you see is Chiefs, and it's primarily because of that. But yeah, the Ravens right now look like the most complete team to your first point. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you're talking about this looks like a top offense. And there's no question it's a top defense. So that's what you want, right? You don't want to have a great offense and a defense that's just barely hanging around. You want to get those both to high quality. And do you think of a team like the Eagles? Sure, the Eagles got a really good team. But Kansas City's defense isn't looking like it once did. And so I'm starting to wonder, like, it's us, the Eagles. I'll put Kansas City up there for now. But there's not a lot of teams that can match what we got going on both sides of the ball.
Agreed. I mean, the team that could was the Lions, apparently.
And we saw what happened to them boys. Whew.
Yeah, yeah. They got turned into some Cubs, man. Jeez, a whiz. Mm-hmm. That was a rough day in the office for the Lions. But I'm not mad at it. I don't care one bit. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this week coming up. I'm excited to watch the Ravens build on some momentum. If you remember in our pregame show, I said the Detroit game was going to be similar in momentum to that Seattle game in 19.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I feel that I feel even stronger about that now than I did prior to the game.
We got to finish it this time, not like 19.
Got to finish it. That's
gotta,
right.
Got to finish Absolutely. It. But I think that's it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back Friday with our pregame show, hyping up and talking about this Cardinals matchup. It is a 4:25 start, just to let everybody know who may not have been paying attention. But we will also be back after that game, so catch us here around 7:30. But first, don't forget to catch us here on Friday, 8 o'clock, live on YouTube. Be here or be square.
That's it for us, folks.
See you.